A man, duh.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Oh, we messed up that one. Let's put that in. All right, happy Father's Day.
Are you ready? Smack my bitch.
Happy Father's Day, brother.
Coming at ya! Welcome to another edition, man. Coming at ya live and unedited from the mean streets of Danville, California. All 41,000 population. Let's go up to the great north. To the Brantford, Ontario, we go. Canada, oh, Canada. You know, I don't know the lyrics of that. We have to actually ask Proteus to put the lyrics on that because I am breaking up. But hit the music. Prados. Let's go.
Waza.
Oh man, that is the Wednesday night special. I like to call it the Marcos. So the what's up? Of course, Proteus refuses to do that during the McGregor Mayweather, and of course on this week in MMA. So shout out to Prados for that. Oh, we're gonna get his take on that because I have a feeling he's not a happy man. But we're gonna find out what that is. Let's hit the one and only. Let's go down south, Prados. That's what she said. To the one and only, the star of the show, we are minus, of course, the first lady of AMP this week.
Marco from Waco, brother. Death Confi have started. Everybody get to their shelters and their bunkers. McGregor Mayweather is happening. Holy shit.
Do you guys want to get into that now, or do you want to go into the card first?
I don't think we should bury the lead. I don't think we should bury the lead. Obviously, everybody wants to hear what we have to say about this shit show.
Well, let's get into it. As Marco broke the news to me, it was announced on the Luke Thomas show and, of course, in various outlets, mainly by Red Okamoto from ESPN, that Mayweather Jr. versus McGregor, billed, of course, as the money fight will, and it finally has a date, guys. August 26th at the T-Mobile Arena in Paradise, Nevada, Las Vegas. Let's hit it. What say you, Prados?
Wow, I'm surprised you went to me first. Well, yeah, like you had said, I was following my Twitter, and you know, for the past couple of weeks, I've been wondering why I've been seeing so much of Conor McGregor's face on my Twitter feed. And now it's doubled, Tony, maybe even tripled the amount of times I need to see Conor McGregor's face on my freaking Twitter feed. And you know what? It angers me. It angers me greatly. But I digress. This is probably the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I cannot believe that the farce that is the Nevada State Athletic Commission would even consider sanctioning a fight of this magnitude only to cash in. I think that totally 100% undermines the whole reason to have athletic commissions. And I 100% believe the government, the federal government, will probably look into this and see that we need to make some changes here. And maybe we need to have a federally run athletic commission that will not be bought or sold to the highest bidder. Yeah, you wanted to hear me rant, man. I might blow my fucking face off today because I'm so angry about this thing actually being made. I hope all of you people, all of you boxing fans that actually are in love with the sport, please do not buy this garbage. Please, no one buy this garbage. I know everyone's going to, or at least a lot of people will, just for the spectacle of it all. And I think that's exactly what it is, Marco. I think this is just a circus sideshow. I think it was a follower of mine, Switches, that said, you know, the result of this fight does not even matter. You know what matters is that all of the dummies, all of the donks are going to pay down their, I would assume, at least $100 per pay-per-view to watch this fight that is a farce. You can't have a 49-0 fighter fighting a 0-0 fighter. You can't sanction that bullshit. Marco, please save me.
You know what? I know what your heart is, Flores, and I respect your opinion. But let's go fight ahead. Armageddon is coming, and for once, I'm freaking excited.
Whoa!
This fight is going to happen, and for all the wrong reasons, it's going to happen, but it's going to make so much money. And whether you like it or not, man, I'm going to give you the breakdown of what happened today. Kevin Aoli of Yahoo Sports was one that announced it at first. It broke on the Luke Thomas show around 3:55 my time here in Texas. Luke Thomas, you know, he has a well-documented opinion about this fight. He went an additional hour after his show ended. So he extended his show from 12 to 3 hours just to cover the reaction of the fans. Then they took him to Mad Dog Radio, you know, where Stephen A. Smith had his own show, and they talked to him in that radio about the fight, too. ESPN did a one-hour announcement with Dana White, actually giving the details of the fight. It's going to be 154 pounds with 10-ounce glove from T-Mobile Arena. It's a 12-rounder. Stephen A. Smith was there on ESPN. Brett Okamoto was on ESPN on the special. Shel Sonnen, Teddy Atlas, and Kilborn, the guy from PTI, everybody giving their opinion. So as an event, not as a fight, you know, forget about if the fight should have been sanctioned or not. As an event, this is going to be bonkers.
Wait one second. How can you just brush over the fact that this fight shouldn't have been sanctioned? That's the main point of an athletic commission, Marco. I don't give a F about who wants to watch it and how big it's going to be. This fight should never, ever happen. Marco, you want to get you've got a 0-0 record as a professional in boxing. Are you going to get in next? Are you next, Marco? Is that what now the athletic commission is going to do next? Just, oh, no, right, because you're not going to make that much money. I get it.
Yeah,
it's Tony, fucking ridiculous.
James Toney should have never fought Randy Couture, and he did it anyway. So, you know, let's not be all sanctimonious about it. The Athletic Commission, whether they should have sanctioned it or not, is water under the bridge right now because they did. And they did it, like you say, for the same reason that everybody is making this fight, because it's projected to make over $500 million. And you know, when money talks, check walks. Even in politics, you know that is what's going to happen. Now,
crazy.
Like I, you know, the craziness of what is right and what is wrong. I'm not even looking at that because, yeah, if I was a purist, and I'm a somehow a purist, this fight should have never been made. But this fight is here now. As a spectacle, this is bigger than Canelo Triple G. It's bigger than John Jones Cormier. It's bigger than, it's pretty bigger than freaking Mayweather Pacquiao. And, you know, I tried to put a positive spin on it. It took an MMA fighter going to boxing to probably have the biggest pay-per-view ever. A fight that he probably won't win. But it is the fact that an Irish guy that 5 years ago was freaking getting welfare out of the Irish government to freaking pay his fucking bills, in 2.5 months is going to be $100 million. And that should be celebrated. Conor McGregor won the game. Whether we like the guy or we don't like the guy, he won the game. The guy is a multimillionaire, and it's because of all his efforts, his greed, and his business sense. For that, I respect the guy. Now, the fight itself, I'm going to watch it. Because guess what? I'm not going to be one of those dunks that is going to say, I didn't watch the shit. If the fight is a shit show, well, they got my money. But it is a spectacle. It's not a boxing match. It's not a freaking. It should never be such as a boxing event either, as an exhibition or whatever. But it is happening, and it is here. And now I'm going to watch. They got me already. Because it is all the hype and what is going to happen and the what if. What if McGregor catches with a left? What if McGregor catches with a left and Mayweather goes
to who cares? Who cares?
Believe me, everybody will care. Stratus. I know.
I don't care. I'm not ever. Yeah. If everybody cared, I would care too, Marco. I could not care less. I'm not going to be a donk and spend my money, and just in case it's a good fight. Sorry.
I know. Hey, Stratus, you feel that way, but probably 5 million pay-per-view buys will tell
donks.
You otherwise.
Exactly. Prove my point for me.
It's okay, brother. But the fight is here, you know. Everybody speculated it was not going to happen, that this was impossible, that was ridiculous. And everybody threw shit on this fight, and somehow the fight is here now. And today, whether we like it or not, today is the biggest sporting news on all the freaking sports channels.
Mark, let me ask you a quick question. Can I ask you a quick question? One second here. Do you it's just a thought that came through my mind earlier on, and I've calmed down a bit. Do you think that a company that's been in the reality TV business wouldn't be good at selling this kind of thing? I mean, do you think that this kind of promotion back and forth was kind of a way to ploy everybody in? Sorry, I'm hijacking the show.
No, it's all right, man. Then let's not forget, man, that he's also the money team, man. You got Floyd Mayweather,
right,
is one of the biggest boxing promoters ever. And then you got the UFC, Dana White, and WME. Everybody's going to make money on this. So it is what it is, man. I know it pains you, Proteus, and I know how you feel about
No. I'm sorry. I don't think you understood the question, though. Do you think that... like you said, the smart people up at the top, do you not think that they kind of could have manipulated the media to get them, you know, fired up and to, you know, be interested in this fight? Because every step of the way, we were like, oh, it's not going to happen. And then Ariel Helwani telling us it's, you know, almost there and we're in the red zone and yada, yada, yada. So do you think that was beautifully played by these guys to manipulate the media like they did?
Thank you, dummies.
It is their promotion. Right? It is their promotion. Like, what the freaking Mayweather did with Pacquiao? He drank his fees out for 5 years until we finally got that fight, and the guy broke records everywhere. So now I'm going to put it behind him. Whatever it takes to create hype to put attention to it, and it got done. I mean, papers are signed. It's all over the place. We get a date, and it's going to happen.
Yeah.
For whatever it's worth, man, I mean, people are going to get swindled. People are going to like the fight because whether you like one admitted or not, bro, this is going to be a successful event, financially speaking. You know, if the fight sucks, whatever. But as an event, as a spectacle, it's going to be financially successful. If this fight is successful, every party that put input to make this fight happen, they did their job. But at the end of the day, the promotions are there to make money. McGregor is there to make money. Mayweather is there to make shed lots of money. So everybody involved in the negotiations to make this fight, for whatever means necessary, did their job. And now the fight is happening, and they're going to make a shed lot of money. Showtime is happy. The UFC is happy. WME is happy. Mayweather is super happy. Everybody's happy on their part. And the ESPN...
Have I been wrong yet? Have I been wrong yet?
Yeah. ESPN is covering all over the place. Every single MMA media and boxing media on radio right now is covering it. And you're going to hear this, it's the never-ending story. We finally had an end day for kind of August 26th. But everybody's going to talk about this fight. They're going to analyze it, break it down, see what chances McGregor got, this and that. All from here until August 26th. And then the fight is going to pass, and then it's going to be over. Unless McGregor is knocking out. What's up?
Yeah, go ahead. Finish your thought, please.
If McGregor, by some miracle of a freaking, you know, the MMA gods say, fuck you, boxing gods, here comes McGregor left hand and knocks freaking Mayweather out, guess what's going to happen? A rematch and another money fight. That is the only scenario where your hopes for not seeing this fight ever again are. That McGregor has to lose and lose badly, and then we'll forget about MMA and boxing mixing that again. Otherwise, it might become a thing, dude. I mean, a lot of people are talking about, Manua wants to fight David Hayes.
you know, the Anderson Silva forever wanted to fight Roy Jones Jr. Stipe Miocic said he will throw his card against Anthony Joshua. So it's becoming a thing, man. So best case scenario for you is that McGregor gets handled, because if McGregor by some freaking hammer of Thor knocks out Mayweather, it's on, dude. You will see this more often than not.
Uh-oh, are we really in America?
I think you're right, Marco, and I'm going to call Conor McGregor by KO. I'm going to call it right now. But here's the thing I want to ask you, Marco. What does the 155 division do in the UFC?
Okay, so take this with a grain of salt, because this is Dana White talking, and you know how Lord Dana is. According to Dana, McGregor still wants to have one more fight before the end of the year, and he wants to have it on the UFC. So if that is the case, they still want to do the interim. You know, it's not speaking Tony Ferguson's foul that Khabib couldn't make weight and he got all those issues with the weight cut. They are trying to make an interim fight for Tony, but, you know, Nate Diaz rejected the fight, and there is not a viable opponent for Tony Ferguson, who is right now the rifle number one contender. Tony can freaking sit down and wait for Conor maybe till the end of the year, but there is not a guarantee that he's going to fight Conor, because Conor has said, I want to fight at 170 against George St. Pierre, and then all bets are off, you know, because that is the kind of shit that Conor will do. So, I don't know. And if that is the case, strip McGregor of the 155-pound title and just make a freaking vacant title fight with Tony Ferguson and Khabib whenever he's able to come back. Yeah, that is the only other scenario I can see, man.
Are you there, Tony? I cannot hear you.
Yeah, Tony got lost on the on the void.
All right. Yeah, we're
okay,
we're breaking up a bit. Yeah, we're breaking up a bit. Yeah, I am, I think. I think that's great.
Okay.
All right, well, that one just went down. So monitor number two just went down. You know what I think it is, guys? I'm going to tell you what it is. I think Dana's ticked off at us because we started with this round. So computer number two, not joking, just went down. So and Dana
Thank
just left
dummies.
Us a message.
Is it?
Thank you. Okay.
You gotta settle
All right.
course, man.
Right? Oh, my gosh. Indeed. Okay, let's go into the fights, guys, because we got a lot to cover. Let's cover, of course, the MMAJA. What did you call it, Marco?
Maja. Maja.
Maja. He called that on Junkie, if you didn't hear him. So shout out to Marco on Junkie Radio. All right, guys, let's get into it. UFC Fight Night, Holm versus Correa, also known as UFC Fight Night 111. This will be Saturday morning, our time, of course, at the Singapore Indoor Stadium. So let's see how well that's going to do, guys. So let's start off with let's go. You know me, guys. You know, let's work our way up. I think Holly deserves it. And yes, there will be Careless Whisper tonight. There's no doubt about it. Guys, let's get into it. To the welterweight we go. Tarek Safadi versus Rafael Dos Santos. Safadi, of course, fighting for Spain. This is a guy that actually fought some of the top fighters many, many years ago. Late in the course, 2-3 in his last five. Losing two straight. Great horror story, and of course, Dong Young Kim. He will fight the former champion that was Rafael Dos Santos. Moving up in weight, last two fights, that's been good. Straight loss. The worst matter dead guy. Lost to Ferguson. And then, of course, I need to call him for my line bet. So we're going to throw this to Proteus. Proteus, will it be Rafael Dos Santos or will it be Tarek Safadi, as I'm calling in? Because I'm breaking up.
Okay, this is a very interesting fight. I think, you know, Tarek Safadi isn't a joke. You know, he was the last Strikeforce champion. Of course, he abruptly lost when he came to the UFC. But it's interesting not only because of that, because Tarek is such a great fighter, but so is Rafael Dos Anjos. And, of course, moving up in weight to 170 for 155 is a very interesting move. And of course, as Marco will tell you, he has switched camps as well. It's very, very interesting to me to see what happens when he, because he's moved away from Master Rafael Cordero after two losses in a row. So I find it very, very interesting and intriguing fight. And I suppose that's probably why they put it on this particular part of the card, because, you know, you want to open with a good fight. And these two guys are very talented. They're probably going to stand and bang. I mean, let's be honest, right, Marco? They're probably just going to stand up and try and have a stand-up war. Maybe DeSantos decides to take it down to the ground if he finds that his striking game is in trouble. But I think this is going to be a stand-up game, to be honest with you. I would love to take Tarek Safadine in here because he's kind of one of my guys and has been for a while. But I think Rafael dos Anjos coming up and getting that big boost from not having to cut the weight is going to make a difference. I'm going to probably go second round TKO KO on this one, Marco. I'm going to throw it to you for your reaction.
Man, I like this fight. Is the introduction of Rafael Dos Anjos as a welterweight. Tarek Safadine, I think his best days are passing, you know. The best showing he got was against Nate Marquardt on a strike when he became the last, literally the last Strikeforce champion before Strikeforce folded. I don't know, man. Safadine has been, one, too injury prone and two, very inconsistent when it comes to his fighting. He doesn't fight that often. And, one thing about him is his fighting style is a little bit too plodding and a little bit too patient. And that is not the case with Rafael Dos Anjos. Every single time he had, especially on his heyday, when he was smoking Benson Henderson, Donald Cerrone, Nate Diaz, you name it, Anthony Pettis, the guy is super aggressive and he gets right in your face. He crouches you, he hits you. Even if he cannot take you down, and Tarek Safadine is a hard guy to take down, he'll make you so uncomfortable that he'll wear out on you. It's a three-round fight, but I think that Rafael Dos Anjos got the edge just because of that aggressiveness, that in-your-face approach that made him the champion. Tarek Safadine, because he is so plodding and way too patient and inactive at times, I think it's going to be to his detriment. Safadine, he's not a guy that gets knocked out easy. You know, he's a savvy striker. But I think that his lack of volume is going to play it against him. And I'm going to take Rafael Dos Anjos in a unanimous decision, 30-27, on a very, aggressive, entertaining fight for Rafael Dos Anjos in his introduction to welterweight.
I would love to see three rounds of these two guys. I really would. I'm going to be honest with you.
What did you say, Proteus? As I had to dial back in, what did you say in terms of obvious? I think you picked Safadine, but what did you say would be the end-all, be-all on that fight?
No, I actually picked Dos Anjos as well by second-round TKO-KO, Tony, and your audio sounds so much better.
All right, thank God. All right,
so
yeah, I'm telling you, Dana does not want us talking about anything like that. Even Pam, the lovely Pam, just sent a text saying, hey, your audio sounds horrible, which means what? What does that mean? It means Dana's not happy.
Around.
Exactly, right?
Thank you, dummies.
You know what, guys? I'm going to go with Proteus on this one, guys. We have a lot to cover and very few little fights actually to cover. So let's go into the news. But I agree with I agree with Prados on this one, guys. I think it's going to be RDA somehow.
That's a sweep.
Me too.
That's a sweep.
But Marco said it was going to go three rounds.
That's right. That's right. Oh, okay. Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to go three rounds. I think RDA is going to be a little bit more aggressive than usual. I'm a Safadine fan, just like Prados. I actually like the guy, but the guy is more of a safe fighter. I don't think RDA is going to want to go that route, guys. So I'm choosing a blast from the past. RDA somehow... maybe RDA in Singapore. Who the heck knows, right? So I'm picking RDA second round KO. All right, guys, let's move down in the fight card or up in the fight card we go. Let's hit the music and hope Dana doesn't kill us on this one. How's the audio? Is the audio good?
Great. I can hear you
perfectly. Very good.
All right. Well, let's do this one. To the welterweight we go. Tarek Saffiedin versus Rafael Dos Anjos. You know I'm going to slice that in, right? Okay. All right. To the welterweight we stay, guys. Dong Young Kim versus Kobe Covington. Kim, of course, 35 years young. He doesn't look 35, I'll tell you that right now. But he's 4-1 in his last five, guys, and has looked really, really good in the UFC. He's going up against the America's hope here, 29-year-old Kobe from Rockland, Covington. Covington, of course, 4-1 in his last five. So this is a battle of good records right here, guys. Hopefully my audio is still picking up with the fights. What say you guys? Will it be, Marco, Kobe Covington, or will it be Dong Young Kim?
We're talking about the stun gun, aren't we?
You put the stun gun.
No. I know. Look, Dong Young Kim, for as good as a fighter as he is, for a while, he was getting away from his judo. You know, he saw he was a striker. You saw how that went for him. And also, he only fights like once a year, for the last three or four fights, man. For one reason or another, he's having injury prone or taking long breaks. And I don't like that on fighters, man. Cody is a younger fighter. I think he's a hungrier fighter, the greedier fighter, and I think he's time to shine bright, man. Now, I'm gonna put a caveat on it. If Dong Young Kim go back to his roots of grinding you and using his judo to just control you against the cage and make it ugly, is Kim's fight to lose. But I don't think that's gonna happen. I think he's gonna try to be a striker again, and Cody Covington, I think at this point of the career, he's a better fighter than Kim is. Like I said, Kim, I think he's on the downside of his career at 35, at welterweight, and Cody is on the upswing. So I'm going to pick Cody Covington on a straight unanimous decision, 30-27.
Wow, Marco, of course, going with Covington. We go to the one and only Prados. Prados, are you going with Marco, or are you going with Mr. Kim?
Okay, Marco makes some great points. Covington not being, a young stud, both having the same kind of record as of late. But Marco pointing out that, Kim has not fought as much. You know, he's been very, very sporadic in his fighting, and that does kind of throw up some kind of red flags, in one's mind. But he's also so very dangerous, Tony. You know what I mean? Like, they don't call him the stun gun for no reason, as Marco was trying to point out. And of course, he is going to be fighting in, his own time zone. So, as I said last weekend with the New Zealand card, and we saw that all of the people from New Zealand seem to really do well. Of course, they're fighting in front of their home crowd, but they're also fighting in pretty much their own time zones, right? So that does help out. And Kobe Covington coming, pretty much halfway around the world to have this fight, maybe they planned well enough. But I do think that, will factor into this fight. Also, being so early for Kobe, if he didn't get there in time to have his body acclimate to the time change, I think that's a very, very interesting thing, because Tony, as we were discussing the other day, this card starts at 5 a.m. in the morning for you guys out there on the West Coast. So, it's going to be a very, very different thing for Kobe Covington fighting at that time of night or early in the morning for him. So it's going to be very interesting. Having said all that and, probably talking for way too long, I think Kobe might have the leg up here, as Marco says. I mean, he is a very surging star, and he has, all kinds of knockout power as well. Won't have the reach advantage, so that may be a factor. I'm going to take Kobe Covington too. I think maybe we see a three-round round war here, Tony. I'm going to take Kobe by decision, probably split decision.
Wow. All right. So Proteus going with go ahead, Marco.
I call him this part of the nine already. This got all the makings.
Yeah.
Wow.
It has all the makings. You're right.
Wow. All right. So you guys are actually higher on this fight than I was. Marco going with Covington, Proteus going with Covington. I'm going to stray off, guys, because I have been near perfect in the last two cards. So I'm actually sticking with my perfection here, guys. I'm going with Kim. I'm going with Kim near home, and I'm going with Kim in a second-round KO, believe it or not. I think he's they don't call him the stun gun for nothing. I think he's dangerous, guys, and I think the ATT product, Kobe Covington, has a long flight, like Proteus said. I just don't see it lasting long. Guys, let's move up to the heavyweight we go. We're moving quickly because we got a lot of crap to talk about. And maybe I may have a surprise for you guys. Maybe. All right, hit the music. Hopefully the audio's good. Hit it. We go to the heavyweight we go, guys. We're going to go to one of my favorite fighters of all time in the UFC. Andre Arlovski, guys, will fight Marcin Tybur Tybura. The Pitbull, he's streaky, guys. He's streaky, and I'm usually not in his favor. He's gone twice, losing four straight in a row. Then he went on a win streak, as you guys know, that brought him back to the UFC. Unfortunately, he's on that slide, guys. Four straight losses. Three TKOs and one submission. So before we go to the one and only Proteus, I have a surprise for you guys. How about this? Not only do we have Marco in the house, the star of the show, and of course, the one and only Protos, but now we have the beautiful Pam. Hit it!
Hi, guys.
Hey, Pam.
¿Qué pasa?
Wow. Oh, my God. You don't want to know, but I missed y'all, so I had to call in for a little bit.
All right. Glad to have you.
Danny, before we get your pick on Arlovski, I want to get your pick on this. All right, to the welterweight we go, Tarek Saffiedine versus RDA. Pammy, who are you choosing?
RDA, I went by decision. I picked RDA by decision. You know, this time change for all of them, I don't know how it's going to affect them. I know, like, Paul right now, he's in Hawaii. He's like a six-hour time change. So, you know, the time change, the climate, all that has a factor, but I'm going RDA by decision. And
all right, to the welt. Go ahead, Penny.
Oh, and then the other fight, I sent you that thing, Asian don't raisin, man. I'm going with him, second round TKO.
All right, Pammy and I on the same. Wow. All right, and is your spouse partying with the Holloway crew?
I told him to. I said, here, take my picture with he and I so you can get some, you know, some kind of a pass or something, you know, because I have that picture of Max Holloway. But I think they were going to go to a luau or something. I don't know what they're doing.
Look at that. Pammy, we're going to start with you. The Pitbull versus Tybur. Which one are you going? Are you going Arlovski or are you going Marcin Tybura?
Okay. Well, don't laugh, but I actually am going with Arlovski, even though he's coming off, you know, four losses, you know, four straight losses. He's a great striker, great grappler, but I just think, you know, he's maybe looking for redemption. And in truth, this one, because, well, keep in mind, I was on medication last night. I picked this one to go decision also.
Wow. Heavyweight going all the way, and he's choosing the Pitbull. Wow.
Yeah,
Proteus.
Or
rather, Marco, do you share Pammy's thoughts? Will it be the Pitbull or will it be Tybura?
Everything should point out for Tybura winning this fight. You know, he's a knockout artist. He's a a sambo guy. He's a decent grappler, younger than Arlovski. You know, it would be good for the heavyweight division to have new blood, you know, because Derek Lewis lost. Damn it. But because of sentimental reason, because this pick got no logic whatsoever, I'm going to pick Arlovski. For all time's sake, I think he is more technical. Kibura is a little bit of a brawler, and Arlovski is a more technical striker. And he can crack, man. I mean, we know that Arlovski can knock people out. Like I said, if Kibura touched Arlovski's chin is metal glass lately, and he'll get knocked out. And like the head will say, pick Kibura, but my heart is picking Arlovski. And I'm going to pick Arlovski by TKO on the second. He's going to be more technical than Kibura and catching with something. And you know, and go to his role to redemption for the like fourth time in his career.
Wow. Proteus, this is throwing me off. Proteus, this is throwing me off. So I may be crazy on this one. Are you hearing the echo or is it just me?
I'm hearing the echo.
You got a little echo. You got a little echo.
Darn. All right, that's not good. Boy, I've told you, Lord Dana's on us today. So much for the MMA JA backing us up here. Proteus, we're going to you. Do you agree with Pam and Marco, or am I on medication too? They're picking Arlovski on this one. What say you?
No, I'm not picking Arlovski on this one. Marco, do we know where he was training this time? Because he was not training in Albuquerque. Was he training in Chicago or something like that?
Yeah, he was training in Chicago for this one.
Yeah. So that's already one strike against him. I don't believe that, not going to the super camp is going to help him here. Then again, maybe his being, you know, closer to home and seeing his son and everything will help. I don't think so, though, mates. And I also believe that Tibura is also closer to his own time zone, probably a couple hours ahead from where he was coming from, if he's in Poland. As he has stated, he is fighting out of. I don't know where his camp is out, but I'm taking Tibura here. I'm going to take him by first round KO.
Yeah, you know what? I have to go with Proteus on this one, you guys. I'm a big Pitbull fan, Arlovski, that is, but I just don't see this going. I think he's done, guys. As I hate to say it, at 38, but. And I know heavyweights tend to last a little longer, guys, but he's submitted by Barnett.
Barnett.
That surprised me. Finished, of course, by Miocic. No shame in that game. That was 54 seconds. Then Overeem with a jumping front kick. That was a fluky. I don't know, but that was in Europe as well, or at least on the east side, right? And then, of course, Ngannou just murders him, unfortunately, in minute 32 in the first. I'm with Proteus. I just don't see him 5 months later getting his chin back. And unfortunately, I think this time he heads to Bellator. So I'm going with Marcin Tybura via first round KO with Proteus on this one. So it hurts me to say that, but that's the way I see it, guys.
I get you,
all right, guys.
Man. My pick is purely a fanboy pick. It got nothing to do with logic. I'm thinking of Arlovski because I'm a fanboy. That's it.
You don't have to explain yourself. All good.
Tammy, are you going with your heart on this one too, or do you really think Arlovski has one left in him?
Well, you know what? Mine, I think, is sentimental and drugs.
She's on drugs.
But, because, he's coming off those four wins, and he was such a great fighter, and I think what I want to happen is I want him, especially coming off those four straight wins, I want him to win and then just say, okay, I'm done, but just win this last fight and then put your gloves in the middle of the octagon and say, I'm done.
I don't think that's going to happen. Unfortunately, very few people in sports, period, retire on their own terms, guys. All right, guys, let's move up to the fight that we want to watch, or at least I want to watch, right? Doesn't everyone want to see Betch dance?
Wow, no.
Oh, my God.
No? Crickets? All right.
No.
Let's move up. We go to the battle of the beauty. I can't say the battle of the beauties. The battle of the beauty. Holly Holm takes on Betch Cohea. Betch, of course, 33 years young, guys, also known as the Pitbull. And one hell of a dancer. I think she won Proteus' Dancing with the Stars one. And we all know that Betch is not only one hell of a sportsman, but classy in wins and defeats. Right? Right, guys?
Wow.
No?
Wow.
Keep going, Tony. Keep going.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, I believe she did win the UFC dance contest, right? No, not that either. All right. Well, Betch, of course, as much as people like to bag on her, guys, Betch is, and there's no way around this. I mean, we got to be honest and say it, right, Rhonda?
Betch.
Right. Betch, guys, is 10-2-1, guys. She was undefeated before facing and, of course, single-handedly beat the four horsewomen. That's right.
Excuse me, bitch.
I said it, Honda. The four horsewomen are no more. She did, of course, lose to Honda Housey via KO. Loses a split decision to Raquel Pennington. And to be honest, no joking aside, I'm not joking on this one, guys. I don't know if she lost that fight. Lost to my Jessica I. And, of course, gave Jessica I a black eye. And drew when the rules were first rules were first implemented to friend to the show, Marion Renault. We go to the one and only Marco. Marco, will it be the greatest dancer in the UFC, Betch Cohea, and, of course, who always wins with class, or will it be the beautiful Holly Holm?
Yeah. First of all, you didn't break down Holly Holm's record, but I'll do it for you.
All right, please.
Undefeated before she, of course, faced Ronda Rousey with the most stunning KO ever in front of 58,000 people in Melbourne, Australia. But ever since then, lost to Misha Tate on one of the best female championship fights ever. You know, she was winning the fight before getting choked out. Have a battle with Shevchenko, you know, and a fight that she actually got a little bit outclassed. And then losses to Germaine de Randamie on the one and only 145-pound female fight in the UFC so far. Now, the de Randamie fight notwithstanding, he's only lost two fights at bantamweight since she won the veil against Ronda Rousey. Betch Cohea, yeah, she's a good fighter. But for me, this will be a showcase fight for Holly Holm because she obviously needs a win. And this is a very winnable fight for Betch. This is a tough fight. And is a push forward, try to crowd you kind of a quote-unquote striker. And she's a brawler. She's very sloppy with her hooks and stuff. And kind of sort of the same thing that Ronda tried to do, but worse. You know, because we saw what Ronda did to her. Now, I'm not using an MMA here, but if she tried to do that to Holly Holm, Holly Holm is going to sidestep and counter all day and eventually land a high kick that put down Ronda and knock the heck out of freaking Betch Cohea, make her face plant in the middle of the freaking ring. And we're all going to be happy because then we can see her fire Cyborg later on in the future. Because that is the fight that actually makes more sense for money-wise for Holly Holm and Cyborg after Cyborg, of course, defeats Megan Anderson, like is rumored to happen in Anaheim. But yeah, I'm picking Holly Holm by knockout on the second. Betch is not a good enough striker to defeat Holly Holm. And I feel grappling is not up to par with Holly. For all the fouls that Holly Holm got on the ground, she's really difficult to take down. And she got a serviceable submission defense. So Holly Holm by knockout.
Holly Holm by knockout. Marco taking Holly Holm, and I'm going to cut this in, guys. To the women's bantamweight we go. Betch, the Pitbull Cohea, 33 years young, 10, 2-1. She will fight Holly, the preacher's daughter, home, 35 years young, and of course, the hell is the key to my current heart. There's no doubt about it. 10-3, guys. Holly, after winning 10 straight, including, of course, beating the then undefeated Honda Housie, has lost 3 straight. She was beating my favorite Misha Tate, of course. Like Marco said before, Misha Tate's late fifth round comeback and putting Holly to sleep. Home, of course, then was given her toughest UFC match to date, in my opinion, in Valentina Shevchenko, where actually she didn't do enough and she lost to a counter-striker. Counter-striker versus counter-striker, the more aggressive one wins. And, of course, like Marco said, losing unexpectedly to the deepest division that we've seen in years, guys. It's so deep, they won't even put the rankings up there. That's right. She lost to GDR, Jermaine Durandamy. We go to the one and only Prados. Prados. Marco, of course, taking home second round KO Prados. Will it be the preacher's daughter, or will it be the best dancer in the UFC?
Yeah. As Marco had said, I don't believe that Betch has anything on Holly Holm. And I don't see a ranking beside Holly Holm's name, but I do believe
she's number five. She's number five. It's an error on the freaking poster there. She's ranked number five on the UFC rankings.
Okay, well, I'm on the UFC.ca right now, and I see no ranking beside Holly Holm's name. So, you know, UFC, step your game up. Ronda Rousey at number five or number three or whatever it was. Holly Holm, not even ranked. We got some problems over there at the UFC right now. Yeah, Marco's right. I don't see Betch Gohea having anything for Holly Holm. Yeah, a straight-up murder by Holly Holm. I think I agree with Marco that it's going to probably take into the second to weather a bit of a storm and figure out Betch. Does Betch have a puncher's chance? Of course she does. Absolutely, everybody does. But I think Holly Holm handles it. Hopefully, like we said, with the travel, of course, Betch coming from Brazil is also going to have... Is she coming from Brazil? If she's coming from Brazil, she's going to have a long adjustment to the time zone as well. But I think Holly Holm gets it done. Second round KO. Yeah, like Margo said.
Wow, all right, Proteus. Always also taking home. Second round KO. We go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, will it be
Betch?
Well, that dropped in work. Thank you.
Oh.
Hold on, Pam. Betch. Will it be
Betch?
Or will it be the beautiful Holly Holm?
I picked Holly Holm. I've got her, but I'm going first round TKO. KO, TKO. You know, Betch does have 10 wins, but her wins are sloppy. I mean, she did have that one draw against Marion Reynaud, which Holly Holm beat Marion. And her fights are won by decision. Her last TKO was in 2014, and 80% of her fights are decision. And I just don't think that she has the finesse to stand with Holly. And mostly because if she does that god-awful fucking dance, oh, my God, I'm going to die. And that is, like, the most horrid thing I have ever seen in my life. And, you know, and I've lived, you know, quite a while. But that is just disgusting. I'm just, please don't do that. So I've got Holly first round KO, TKO. Just
darn,
because
all
I don't
right,
want
Pammy.
To do that.
Also going with the first round TKO. So not only is Betch gracious in wins, not only is Betch the best dancer ever in the UFC, but Betch is also the best dressed ever. Oops, I guess not. Sorry. All right, guys. I think we're going on the same route on this one. I'm taking my wife, if Misha Tate did not exist, Holly Holm. But believe it or not, I think it's going to go all three rounds, guys.
And is your wife going to exist either?
That's right.
Watch it. Mrs. DJ Tony might not appreciate that, so you better put that caveat.
That's right. And not only that, but Misha, we apologize to Misha. We will run out of time, and we will not be able to get her on again. Yeah. But this is going to go via decision, guys. I think I think Holly's going to light Betch up. I think Betch is going to look worse than she normally does when she wakes up every morning without makeup. But unfortunately, oops, did I go too far on that one? All right. Nate, did I go too far on that?
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Okay, all right. All right, guys, but I'm going with Holly Holm. She's gonna win hands down, but I do think it's gonna be a decision. So I'm taking Holly Holm via decision, unanimous. So Marco going with Holm, second round KO. Proteus going second round KO Holm. Pammy going first out of hate for the best dancer in the UFC, Betch. And, of course, I'm going decision, Holly Holm, unanimous. This is where I'm going to hand it off to my buddy. Of course, we're going Proteus's prime time tonight because tomorrow we're going championship rounds with GG. But I'm going to hand it to my boy Proteus. And, of course, I'm staying here. But I'm going to hand it to Proteus. We're going to go Proteus's prime time right now, guys. And that's because we are going into – actually, quite a bit, guys. A lot of stuff that there is. Hang on, Proteus. Let me find your Proteus's primetime intro.
You are a
traitor.
Where is
it, Pro? Damn it, where is it?
I don't know. I don't have it in front of me. Sorry, I apologize. I didn't have it up in front of me.
The millions of dollars we put in production. You need to fire somebody.
You know what's funny, though? I was thinking about this because, and I know we're going to get into this, but Dan Stupp was talking about this. And, of course, we're, you know, he was bringing up the fact that, you know, the MMAJA is going to be, and you guys will bring this up. I'll actually chime in as well. But he was talking about people that do this full time, you know, on a full time basis. You know how much thousands of dollars we've poured into this? Not joking. We poured in a lot of money into this, so we better get in. Anyway, here goes. All right, we go into Proteus's prime time. Here we go. Hit it.
Are you ready?
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are, in fact, tonight's entertainment. No, of course, that's the start of my show. Yes, Marco, so let's throw to you. We're going to do news and notes because there's lots to talk about, lots of things going on here. So, Marco, let's throw to you and get you to broach a subject here that you'd like to talk about on Proteus's primetime.
First of all, you know I love that introduction with Darth Vader. You know I love it.
Yeah.
Besides the you know, we already talked ad nauseam about the McGregor-Mayweather fight. So we'll shelve that and talk about the...
Wait a second. Hang on one second, Marco. Before you move on, I do remember that we have not gotten an opinion of one...
Ooh, this is going to go well.
...from North Carolina.
Ooh, of course.
If you can, Marco, just hang on one second and let's get Pamela's reaction to the Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor boxing match.
Can I say that?
I think that's it.
Okay.
Do you have any more to say than that?
Yeah. No, I don't think I can say those words.
Well, this is a podcast. In public. We are trying to keep it family friendly. So, yes, Marco, why don't you broach another subject? Thank you, Pam.
You guys are haters. So let's shelve that another day because, of course, we want to talk that ad nauseam until the fight comes out because it's the never-ending story. The second biggest story that broke out today.
That's a good song.
It is.
Yeah, I know. The second biggest story that broke out today is the creation of the MMA Journalists Association, MAJA. Dan Stupp, you know, the founder and president of MMA Junkie Radio, is the interim president of the association, and big names of the freaking MMA Media, Ariel Helwani, Ben Fole, Chuck Donda, Josh Gross are part of the board of directors. And for once, wow. I am actually super glad that the writers and you know the people that are part of the MMA Media are putting their heads together and are making this happen. You know, as the sport evolves, you need something like this to take effect. Every single major sport, NBA, yeah. NFL, boxing, you name it, they got a writers association, and they need that to protect themselves, because everybody remembers what happened in UFC 199 with Ariel Helwani. You know, very well documented, yeah. The kerfuffle that was, and all the amount of public goodwill that brought up towards Ariel Helwani and the MMA media in general is what sparked his, what put the wheels in motion to what today has become the MMA JA. I am all for it. It's something that is going to be a possible step in the right direction for the sport, for the journalists themselves. They'll be able to actually network and cooperate in a much professional, a better way. And if we want the high profile of the sports to become, you know, something that the mainstream media talk about it, not just on the, you know, fringe occasion, but all the time, this is a step in the right direction. I couldn't be more glad that something like this is happening. I'm going to keep talking now because I just ran, you know. If I kiss these guys' asses anymore, they're going to have shiny butts.
Pam, do you have any thoughts on this particular subject that Marco has broached?
No, I can't think right now. No, I'm just listening to y'all right now.
Okay.
It's my mood.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, so my thoughts real quickly, unless Tony, you want to jump in here. Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say that we actually put into the within hours of as soon as the website went back up, we put in there as well, pro. So, you know, we obviously support the MMA JA,
right.
And we're huge supporters of Junkie and the other forums. Obviously, we listen to the MMA Beat, the MMA Hour, Luke Thomas, and some of the other guys. So we're supporters of them. So the co-main event, et cetera. So yeah, we're personally, we obviously went in to join the organization and we're supporters.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great news.
I talked to Jordan Breen today on the Jordan Breen show. He's also a big supporter of it. He's also part of the association. You know, he was one of the very first guys to brainstorm with Danny Staub and others, you know. Even though he's not part of the board, he's part of the association too. So it is a positive thing. And we need all the bigger profile guys to be there, you know, the Luke Thomases, the Ariel Helwanis, the Josh Gross, all those guys. And, you know, we, the little guys, you know, they'll pave the way for maybe guys like, you know, Tony and you, Prarius, to grow and probably become you know, more higher profile of the space. Because when somebody moves aside, you know, younger boys like you with all that energy and that beautiful vigor can step in and do something about it.
Well, Marco, I think we're all around the same age, so I don't know about any youth vigor coming through me. But I agree, guys. For a while now, I think I've had a narrative in my head that the UFC has really been trying to control the flow of information. I mean, just recently we heard Dana White spout out at the mouth about, you know, if we didn't announce it, don't believe it because it's not real. It doesn't exist. And then the next week, he's totally contradicting himself. And the news that he's or the something that he announced that came out was completely not true. It's ridiculous for these guys to have to compete in a kind of world like this. I've said it before on the show repeated times, and I think anybody who listens to any of our shows will know that I am very, very concerned about what's going on with the UFC and their the way of conducting their business. And we're seeing it right now with Mighty Mouse, who is the probably the best fighter that they have ever. You know, maybe he's his competition isn't the best, but that's the division. Anderson Silva's competition wasn't that great either. Yes, he moved up to another division and knocked people out, but that wasn't at his division. That didn't count towards his title defenses. It's very, very strange to see what the UFC is doing right now, and I really appreciate this, and this movement by the journalists. What would concern me, one, is that the journalists are going to have a union or an association before the fighters, but again, maybe that might, as Marco pointed out, might blaze a path, not only for, you know, organizations like us to go to some more events, Tony, but also to get the fighters to reconsider what they're doing. And I think it was a major mistake to bring sports stars from, you know, other sports into a fighter retreat, so to speak, and have them speak about, you know, how good it is in their sport as opposed to how good it is in MMA. Big mistake, I think, and I think that that's going to contribute to this movement, hopefully, to free the fighters from whatever bullshit contracts they're under right now. As I mentioned repeated times, not only on this show, but on Dave Madden's show a week and a half ago, I think that the class action lawsuit against the UFC is going to, you know, really play a big factor in this, Tony. And I think we're in early days of not only the journalists getting an association, but I think we're in early days of the fighters kind of waking up and realizing that they need to do it too. And as Marco had mentioned, you know, Luke Thomas has been spouting this out for years now. And it's good to see them lead by example, Tony. And hopefully this does, you know, create some change in our sport so that crazy things like Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather never happen again.
That crazy stuff will happen again. It will happen again. I mean,
of course it will, Marco, and that's the bad. That's the sad thing. That's the sad thing.
We still got Bellator, don't we?
Well, you know why it'll happen again? It's because people like, okay, look at this. When you say you're cleaning out the fridge and you've got some sour milk there and you know it's bad, but you still have to open the lid and smell it, that's what it is. It's bad, but people are still going to... Am I right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what it is. It's a freak show. And fortunately, you have enough people out there that love a freak show and are going to dish up money for this freak show. I, on the other hand, am not. I'm just not, but...
I apologize for changing the subject, Tony.
Oh, to each their own.
Yeah, I apologize. I understand the vitriol, and Marco commented earlier on about my vitriol about this fight, but as Marco had stated, and as we stated, there's a bunch of donks out there, but since Pam, you want to just sit and listen for a bit, let's move on to something, Marco, that I think is going to be near and dear to our hearts, the new Bellator announcing crew. I was really hoping to see Marco. I was really hoping to see Mauro Ranallo land on his feet in the UFC and, you know, probably have Dana and Mauro bury the hatchet, so to speak. But that feud seems to still be blazing, along because, you know, he signs with another Scott Coker production in Bellator. And, of course, also Goldberg coming from the UFC and signing with Bellator, which we thought was probably going to happen anyways. Right, Marco? We had discussed this before on the show that we thought that Goldberg was going to land on his feet and probably get a job with Bellator. So let's get your comments on what you think about what this means for the new commentary team for Bellator moving forward. And is it just Strikeforce 2.0 like everyone else has been saying, Marco?
Hey, let's not forget that your buddy, Brendan Schaub, is going to be the backstage interviewer.
He's not my buddy.
Yeah, we know how big of a fan you are of him. Be glad for the guy. He's doing
huge
great
fan, yeah.
He's not getting punched in the face, and he's making huge money. You know, he just came back from his Australian New Zealand tour, setting up his freaking theater or something. So good for the guy. Dude, I'm glad. Mario Ronaldo didn't need to land on his feet. He still got the Showtime gig announcing, you know, the biggest freaking boxing matches of this era. And he was the voice of Joshua Klitschko, for crying out loud. It was amazing. So I wanted to talk or say about Mauro. Mauro, you see, this is a good fit for him. He worked with Cocker before. And Sean Grande, you know, the guy that was the prior play-by-play, he's leaving because, you know, he also got another gig with the Boston Celtics and NHL and football up there on the New England area. So the guy got a full plate, and the schedule was getting too hectic for him. He was interviewed by Luke Thomas today, too. And he explained his reasoning, but, you know, sure. The guy is still, you know, very grateful for what the MMA can offer him. And replacing Sean Grande with Mauro Ranallo and Mike Goldberg makes all the sense in the world. I've seen Mauro and Mike are going to split duties through the year because, you know, Bellator is not making 16 events a year anymore. They're close to 30, 32 now. So they're going to split
duties right?
through the year. Yeah, they have a whole bunch of events a year, at least two events a month on Santa's Special. So the schedule is bigger than when Sean Grande first came in. When Sean Grande came in, it was 16 events in 1 year, and now they're close to 30. And they're going to Singapore, and they're going to Italy, and they're going to everywhere. So, yeah, it makes more sense for guys that are more in the space, like Mike Goldberg to Amaro Ranallo, to come in, and I applaud them for that. And also, it gives the fan familiarity because we, the hardcores, are familiar with Mauro. We're familiar with Mike Goldberg. For whatever false people say of Mike Goldberg, I think it's a good fit for him and Bellator. Jimmy Smith ain't going anywhere, so
no.
I'm glad, and they're gonna do okay. You know, Bellator is doing good things, and it's always good to have competition. They're expanding their roster. They're making good signings with the signings make sense, you know, in the free agent market. And they've got this big event coming out next week that, of course, we're going to talk about next Wednesday on the Smack My Picks. So we can break all the stuff down and all the pleasantries and the pageantry that is going to be Bellator NYC with Mauro Ranallo on the desk hosting. Mike Goldberg as the play-by-play, Jimmy Smith as the color commentator, and Brendan Schaub interviewing the fighters all over the place.
Okay. No, but if anybody is interested, we actually did have the pleasure of interviewing Sean Grande. It is in the archives. He was gracious enough to give us a whole bunch of his time. And we did interview him at the beginning of his tenure with Bellator, or near the beginning of his tenure with Bellator. And when Goldie became, a free agent, so to speak, I did voice my concern about Sean Grande and where he goes. And, you know, like you said, Marco, he does have the Celtics, and I was very concerned about, you know, when they got into the playoffs. I said to Tony, I don't know what's happening with Sean Grande here, because, I mean, he's going to be stretched like Stretch Armstrong, you know, all over the country and they went to Italy, you know what I mean? He had to go to Italy and then he had to fly back for a championship game or a playoff game. I just thought that was not a relationship that could go forward. Anyways, I digress, Pam. We throw to you because I'm sure you're going to have some kind of comment on this. If you want to comment, please do, or else we'll go to Tony.
I don't. I think it's a good idea. I like Goldie. I like Mauro. I think it's showing the growth of Bellator. I think people kind of, you know, throw them off as like a UFC knockoff, but they're turning out to do some pretty good shows, and they're signing some really good people. So I think this is part of their growth, and I think it's a good thing.
And Tony, as we're discussing here, you know, as Marco said, Jimmy Smith is not in danger of losing his job, as Mauro and Goldie, they pretty much do the same job, even though, you know, Mauro can work in a three-man booth, as Marco had alluded to. So let's get you to break it down and what your thoughts are on this new broadcast team for Bellator.
Yeah, be honest with you. I'm surprised none of you guys brought it up because all you guys have been, you know, a longtime fans, even probably longer than I've been of MMA. But I think what they're doing is genius. I mean, if you, even though I don't want to see Sean Grandy out of Bellator, you know, Proteus was very expressed, you know, obviously being the voice of the Celtics. I mean, he was, all the traveling was starting to get to him, and obviously Bellator does a lot of shows in Europe, but I'm really shocked that you guys haven't brought up the fact that Scott Coker, guys,
yeah,
on the underhand, or maybe it's very obvious, he's basically not creating Strikeforce 2.0. He's creating UFC pre WME and, you know, WME, yeah, whatever it is.
The Empire.
I mean, he's basically, right, he's creating that entity before WME, IMG became, you know, UFC. I mean, bringing in Goldie, bringing in all the fighters that we love, yes, a couple years too late. But look at Rory McDonald. I mean, Rory still has quite a few number of years. I think my boy Benson Henderson still has quite a few number of years. Let's not forget, aside from the fighters, Hoy Nelson, Rory, Bendo, and all these other guys that they're having, Matt Mitrione. Don't forget, Stitch works for Bellator. Don't forget, I wouldn't be surprised if they hire, gosh, help me out, Prados, the guy that did all the backstage things, the guy that does...
Burt Watson.
Oh. I wouldn't be surprised if they hire Burt Watson.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets him in there, guys. I'm telling you, quietly, Scott Coker, and you guys know I'm a Bellator fanatic, but quietly, Scott Coker isn't creating Strikeforce, guys. In my opinion, Proteus, he's creating UFC of a couple years ago.
Well, that you make a very good point. That's for sure. I mean, no one is going to argue with you that, you know, Scott Coker is a very smart man. And listen, like I just said, these guys probably aren't going to do this. They're going to probably rotate jobs. You know, they're probably going to not work together all that often. But they are trying to, as Marco said, they are trying to make that New York City card as big as possible. And if we are to believe, you know, what Vanderlei Silva said on the MMA Fortnite with Ariel Helwani on Monday, you know, he wasn't sick. He just didn't want to. See Chael Sonnen in person.
Steroids? What are you talking about, steroids?
I wasn't talking about steroids, Conor McGregor. I'm sorry, buddy. I wasn't.
It's very convenient he didn't want to be on the United States where you can do random testing when he goes. Remember Alistair Overy? Remember what happened to Alistair Overy? Right after that.
What the hell's going on out here?
I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not accusing Vanderlei Silva of doing anything, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Convenient. You know?
I hear you. Pam, you got anything else to say?
I know, I'm listening to it, but I think it's a good thing. I've always liked Bellator, you know. I think it's fun. I think it's awesome. I can't wait for the New York show. It's like when you have a girlfriend and she has a really hot sister that you didn't ever notice that she was hot, but that's what Bellator is turning into. You know what I mean?
Like
the hot little sister that nobody ever noticed,
wow,
but now it's like, hey, she's kind of cute.
Yeah.
Is that a good analogy?
Yeah. Did you see still the blonde with the big boobs, man? Still.
But am I lying? I'm not lying. Anyways, hey, you guys, listen. I'm going to go. Because I've got to take some meds, and as soon as I take them, they knock me out like in 10 minutes. So I missed you guys. I know, right? I just wanted to hang out for a little bit. But y'all finish your show. I'll still be listening.
We appreciate it. Thanks for dropping in.
All right, I'm going to get up 4:30 and watch the fights on Saturday.
Wow.
Peace out.
For you.
Enjoy the fights.
I'll call y'all.
All right.
Good night.
Don't call me. I'll be sleeping.
All right. Bye.
All right, Pam. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right, Tony, let's get you to broach some news then, since we're playing the Bellator theme right now, because we're being very Bellator friendly. Tony, do you have any more news that you would like to speak about before we end the show?
Yeah, let's talk about this. I mean, obviously, you know, Marco's right. We're going to get into it next week. Obviously, Bellator NYC coming on. Just out of curiosity, and you know me, I always like to do the probable or improbable takes. We already saw Carrie Ann Melendez leave the card due to injury, so she will not be on that card.
No.
Yeah, she won't be on that card. Heather Hardy, of course, making her debut as a boxer into MMA. But which fight do you think would really be a detriment, guys, if it falls out a week? You know, we're obviously a week ahead of time. But
God forbid that a boxer gets into MMA. What sacrilege!
So, Marco,
guys?
Let's start with you.
What's up? Talk to me.
Were you not listening to Tony's question?
I lost my train of thought because I wanted to throw that joke so much. I deleted everything else that he said. What was the question there again, Tony? Go ahead.
Sorry. Which fight, because Bellator will be going back into the pay-per-view arena, which I think is a mistake. But in my opinion, in your eyes, which fight, if it falls out, we already saw Carrie Ann Melendez. She's out of that fight card. Which fight do you think would be a detriment if it falls out?
Fedor Mitrione. If Fedor
Mitrione
falls out again, the whole fight card will fall apart. The whole fight card will fall apart because you saw what happened when Fedor Mitrione fell out the last time. It was a debacle, and that happened at the last second. So Fedor Mitrione cannot fall out again. It needs to happen.
Yeah, that's a good point. Tony, to answer your question, I also believe that if the main event falls out or if, you know, some kind of testing from New York comes through that just, you know, disqualifies either fighter who clearly have had some non-onnit supplement problems, you know, would be a very big problem, because I do unfortunately believe that a lot of people want to see this fight. I mean, it had been built up and built up and built up in the UFC, and you know, probably the UFC is kind of pissed that they put so much money into this rivalry and they don't get to capitalize on it. So again, as we were talking about earlier about Coker being, you know, so smart. I mean, here's another reason for us to say that he's smart, because that's the kind of fight that people want to see. And you know, whether or not it comes through is another question, Tony. And I hope it does go through, just for the millions and the millions of people who are going to be buying this pay-per-view. not so much.
200,000. That's my goal. Hey, I want you to dispel some rumors for me, guys, because I'm not sure. I've been on the rumor bill, and I'm not sure this is confirmed or not. First, I heard Jorge Masvidal is fighting Tyron Woodley. I don't know if it's a bad rumor. Somebody's lying to me.
I saw something about this.
Yeah, did something happen to Damian Maia? I need some confirmation on that. And second of all, the big Buffalo Blue, Noah Hobbs, throw out another rumor that the Megan Anderson cyber fight was already set for UFC Anaheim. Now, Megan Anderson is supposed to defend her title on Invicta, like I said.
Right.
That doesn't mean anything, because if the UFC sent the bad signal, that fight is off, and she will fight cyber. But have you guys heard anything about that too? Because as far as I know right now, those are rumors. And I don't want to spread rumors, even though I'm spreading them right now. But I wanna see if you guys got some confirmation. You can hear something otherwise. Send me straight, please.
Hey, one second. Can you guys hear me okay? I'm having a little bit of problems.
Yeah, no, we can hear you fine.
Yeah, okay.
Perfect, perfect, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we had said something about this in previous weeks, Marco, pertaining to the Megan Anderson versus Cyborg fight. We did mention, I think it was you and me talking about it, that we did mention that we thought maybe it was a little bit of showmanship, you know, for Megan to have this fight come up in Invicta, and then, you know, the next day, we're talking about that fight not happening anymore, and Cyborg, you know, and Megan Anderson getting that that title fight. I don't know if they're going to do like an Invicta kind of title fight on the UFC, like maybe a WWE women's division belt, which is really where this sport seems to be going right now. And I think Dave Vandam was right when he said that. And I when I talked to him about it, I was like, I don't know if it's getting that far. And then, you know, Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor happened. So anything is possible at this point. Tony?
I actually think it's going to happen, guys, and I'll tell you why. And Marco's,
I think it has to.
Marco's probably right about this. I think Ariel Helwani is a lot smarter than what I think we already know this, but a lot smarter than we even believe. Because here's the thing: when he brings it up, guys, it means he already has a tip. And the fact that he brought it up on the MMA beat last week with Luke Thomas, when it was just them two, I guess they're redoing the studio. But the fact that he brought it up, guys, means it's already a done deal in my eyes. Right. I think it's going to happen, Marco.
Yeah, and one thing we know about Ariel is that he got really good sources. He doesn't throw anything out there. He hasn't checked, double-check, and triple-check before he throws something out. But what about that Masvidal Goodley rumor? Is that something that is really for real, or what is going on with that?
I saw only one thing on my Twitter that alerted my attention to it, and I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't want to quote anybody and just throw it out there.
Low Kick MMA, I think, by Matt McNulty. He put it out there.
Okay, so yeah, I did see it earlier on, and I mean, sure, do it. I mean, Masvidal was running on, you know, a great deal of fanfare. And if, Maya is, in fact, injured, yeah, you do it, man. Why not? I mean, that's going to be the best thing they could do besides GSP versus Woodley in 170. So, yeah, do it. It's my opinion.
Like, and nothing against Jorge Masvidal, because, you know, he did put a spirited fight against Maya. But is he the next logical guy? And I know we don't want to see Wonderboy fight Woodley a third time. And I guess Masvidal is number four. Who is number three on the line? Because Maya is one. Wonderboy is two.
Yeah.
He's in Robbie Lawler. Not Robbie Lawler is supposed to fight Cerrone. So I guess it makes sense.
And, right, exactly.
I was a little uncomfortable with, Masvidal because he just lost to Maya, but it's going to be interesting. I'm picking Goodley if that happens, but we'll talk about it if he in fact comes to fruition. Good for Masvidal, but he's getting a title shot.
Hey, and Tony, I think Marco makes a good point. You know, if it is, you know, on short notice, and of course, Robbie Lawler is scheduled to fight the cowboy later on in the year, what do you say? I mean, is this the correct person to put in there? Do you agree with me that, you know, Masvidal is running on that fanfare and that might be a good fight to put in there in replacement?
Yeah, I completely agree with you guys. Even though he's coming off a loss, Masvidal, he didn't look bad, right? I mean, he literally fought, like you always say, the backpack, right? And he fought. I think his defense was better than I even imagined. So if, in fact, the rumors are true that Maya's injured, I think he's the logical next man up. So I don't think they're going to give it to Thompson. It's too early to give it to Lawler. You can't give it to Magny, Condit, who the hell knows? So, yeah, I'm with you guys. I think it would be Masvidal.
All right.
You answer my question.
All right, guys. If nobody else has anything else, Tony, to break out on this show. I think we should shut it down. Anybody else have any kind of news or notes that they want to break before we get out of here for this week or for today?
Death Confi is happening. Get to the bunkers and shelters. McGregor Mayweather is happening.
Perfect. All right, Marco, why don't you go ahead and end the show for us?
Okay, guys. So, no music? Oh, my God, I feel left out.
No, it's coming up right here.
He's on it.
Oh, wrong song. Hang on. Buy some time. Okay, ready, Marco?
Yes.
End the show.
Okay, guys. So, follow DJ Tony at I Am DJ Tony. Follow producer at Produce. Follow Pam at Pandora Box. Follow the show at Adobe MMA Cast. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Listen to us in iTunes and Blog Talk Radio. Write on review at Naco Game because we need the review. Fight this weekend. Get up early. Buffalo, you are hardcore. If you're listening to this show, you are the hardcore, so hardcore. So get up at 2:30, 3:30, 4:30 in the morning, and watch the damn fight. We gotta leave you guys catching up next week. Enjoy the fight.
Happy Father's Day, Marco.
Happy Father's Day, guys. You're right. Happy Father's Day to all our listeners and, of course, to our host. Proteus, let's get out of here. Proteus.
Hey, I'm not surprised.
Who the fuck is that guy?
All right, bro, let's get back out of here.
Yeah!